have some great ladies around here, these young ladies that are helping me today. Brent, I'm going to look at mic number 4. Would you grab that real quick? And I just happen to know that little Dakota here loves to put God's word in her heart. So this isn't something we practiced this morning or anything like that. But and she's a kind of shy, but she's also got a really good memory and a bold heart. So I've kind of asked her to lead out in worship by calling us to worship. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Do you remember that one?
No, it's through 6.
Oh, it's through 6. Pastor Bruce made a mistake here. Why don't you share that with the folks?
Proverbs 3:3-6. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your heart. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Woo!
Thank you, sweetie. You guys can go ahead and be seated. Yeah, that's what we want today is, go ahead and sit down, sweetie. That's what we want from our kids today is participation. And what a blessing. And what a blessing they are to us. So because kids are with us, and sometimes kids don't like maybe long, boring sermons. Well, maybe adults don't either, right? You know, the children and us all, you know. So instead of a 30-minute message, I've kind of broken today up into 4, like 10-minute kind of sections. Would that work for everybody? Now, if you just don't like that, you just have to not listen during the in-between times or just kind of condense it in your mind or get the taped version that Brent puts together later and it'll all sound like a sermon, okay? Yeah, because God loves it when we come together, and he loves kids. Remember the story of Jesus when he didn't let the adults shoo away the kids? He called the kids to him and said, "For such is the kingdom." In fact, he challenged the adults and said, "You need to take better lessons." So for the adults today, your sermon is the kids. Taking a lesson from kiddos, how, like in Dakota's case, just sharing the word, letting God use you and them. In the thought today, we're really in the series of being all in. We've talked about being all in marriages. We've talked about being all in our relationship with discipling other people. We've talked about being all in our outreach, loving other people in the community, what God's doing with that. You might recognize some of these individuals. They're actually pictures of kids and parents in our congregation. Some of the kids have grown up a little bit now. Some are years old. But thinking about all in parenting today, and as we kind of think that through, maybe a little humor about parenting would be good. It's kind of good to laugh at parenting, isn't it? Is it one of those things that if you don't laugh, you might cry? You know, yeah. Some of us, thankfully, are past that youngest of the children. How many of you are in the young parenting stage? You got a few among us, yeah. Yeah, okay. How many are in the grandparenting stage? Yeah. How many are in the great aunt and uncle stage? Oh. Oh, you thought I was going to say great-great-grandparents, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah, we got a few of those. Well, so talking about parenting with kids in the room can be somewhat intimidating, can it? Yeah, we might have to think that through a little bit as we go. If you've got your hand out, let's talk about a couple of things that God might call us to, because I want to talk about four different gifts that we need to give to kids that God gives to us. God gives to us an unquestionable commitment. We don't have to wonder about God's commitment to us. And there should be so much security in an all-in family, in an all-in parenting situation, that there's not a doubt about our commitment. Our kids should never hear from the lips of a parent, "Well, if you don't behave, then I'm going to give you up for adoption," or that kind of feeling. Even if you feel that way. You know, Dave Ramsey sometimes jokes and says, you know, you want your kids to feel like you're selling so much stuff, they're going to be next, you know, to get out of debt. But that shouldn't be the feeling of tentativeness or lack of commitment, just the opposite. So today, think about it from the other way. Your commitment, unquestioning, to God, to the family, and then to the ideal marriage. Actually, that one's in the note. In fact, the best gift you can give your kids is, if you're married, is a picture of marriage that works. Is a picture of marriage that works. So unquestionable commitment to the Lord, to marriage. By the way, did anyone hear, we talked about that last week. Yeah, marriage, under God's plan. The one wants to show who God is through marriage. And then, of course, to the family. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, it's this whole passage about two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. If one falls, the other can help him up. If two go into battle, they can defend one another. 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And in marriage, you think of two. When you wind it around with the Lord, there's three. Cord of three strands. In the picture of God, we have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. You know, if you take a string or a rope that can hold 100 pounds, and you add another string or rope that can hold 100 pounds, and you put them together, you'd think that they can now hold 200 pounds, right? Synergy does something to that. Now they can hold not 100 pounds, they can now hold 400 pounds. You add a third one to that, and it's exponentially raised. There is synergy and strength in that. And so he says, stay committed to each other. In an all-in family, we're committed. We're committed to God, to marriage, and to each other. If you're not married, if you're single, widowed, or divorced, you're still committed to the ideal marriage. To say, even though this isn't my state, I'm holding this up. And even talk to your kids about that. They need to know, regardless of what condition you're in, what state you're in, what God's plan is, what his big plan is. One of our long-term helpers here in the children's ministry is Mike Tennant. Mike, would you come up here for a minute? I think we'll use this one, Brent, number four. And Mike, share with us a thought for the kids and adults, the kids and all of us.
How many of you were here last week? Raise your hand. Last week was pretty impressive. I've been married 30 years, and I got to actually hear my wife restate her marriage vows to
Woo-hoo!
Me, and I got to restate mine to her. If you were here, you'll see that was a pretty impressive thing. When Bruce asked me to come up here today, I wanted to do something that talked about last week, something that was running through my mind while he was talking. He told a story from the Bible, and if we know it's from the Bible, then we know it's... Come on, you got to do better than that. Kids here, you got to think like a kid. Okay, you got to help me out. Okay, he told a story about Jesus and how he was traveling in the region of Judea, and crowds had gathered around him. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, they saw this as a great opportunity to test Jesus. So they asked him, "Jesus, is it lawful for a man to leave his wife for any reason?" Think about that. Think about that message to the children. You see, they knew that in that big crowd, this half believed marriage was like an inning of baseball. You know, three strikes and you're out. You burnt my toast this morning. You know I don't like my toast burnt. That's strike one. And my eggs, never runny, always over medium. Right? That's strike two. Mismatched socks, always a strike three. Luckily for my wife, I like mismatched socks. Jesus, he didn't fall into the trap. He said, we need to go back to the beginning, the way God intended marriage. Let me show you. This was me. Time out. I was a lot skinnier back then. This was me. I'm blue. I needed a helpmate, somebody who was pretty and kind, somebody who was pretty and gentle, somebody who was pretty and would serve only me. And did I mention she had to be pretty? Yeah. This is my wife. Pretty, like pure gold. Everything I'd hoped for and ever imagined. And the good news is, she said yes. And we were married. And you know, God began to work in our lives. And in the beginning, it was kind of like, you could see a lot of me, and you could see a lot of her. You know, I learned that she actually liked to spend money. Not good. I like to save money. None of you guys are in that shoe. I know that. And I actually said to her, you know, honey, I said, if it was left up to me, we would sit on orange crates because I would never spend money on furniture. I said, you know, but left up to you, we'd be still sitting on orange crates because we could never save enough to buy furniture. Together, we have pretty nice furniture. And God kept working in our lives, you know. I also realized she was a social butterfly. She likes to flutter around and talk to everybody. Oh, this is true. Me, wallflower. I like to hang out in the back. As soon as Bruce says amen, I make a beeline for the door. Ask Bill. He sits right next to me and stops me before I get out. But you know, God knew all that. And it didn't confuse him. You see, God just kept working in our lives and working in our lives until me and my wife realized that we'd become one flesh. The two had become one, green and growing. I think that's why Jesus said to him, what God has joined, let no one separate. Now, this would be the point where I'd take off a little piece and give you each one, tell you to take that home and to try to separate it. But for the sake of Bruce, I know you guys would become distracted. I'm going to stop. Thank you.
Amen. Ah, that's good, brother. Stay right here for a second. Even though you haven't been serving lately, I'm just glad you're here. Melissa, would you come up here too, please? And Bev, would you come up here just real quick? And Sarah, let's see. Debbie, you've been helping some, but not lately as much. Come on up here, just because I want you to. Misty, would you get up here, please? Come on. Miss Huskies today. And who else did I miss anybody I'm not looking at? So one of our children's workers. Actually, BJ, you're right beside her every week. Get on up here, man. Just come on up. Come on. I just want to thank God for these workers and anybody else that I might have missed by calling you up just because you're not getting up here. Just to say thank you for pouring your love, your energy. Some of you every stinking week. I mean, she likes to get out of the sermons that I preach, but she's just awesome in loving kids. Some of it's more of an occasional or every month kind of deal. Some of you, it's just every week. And let's give these workers an honoring hand. Just loving them. All right, kids. Kids, how about a shout for your workers? This isn't something you usually get to do in church, but you get to do it today. How about on the count of three, say, "Yay, teachers!" Okay, so on the count of three, everybody can say it, but the kids especially. One, two, three. "Yay, teachers!" Oh, we got to do better than that. Let's do one more loud one. Okay, one, two, three. "Yay, teachers!" All right. Thank you. Well, just imagine that phrase, "don't let me down," as a call from the kids to you, because we can always use more help, even if it's once a month, if it's on a regular basis, serving and loving our kids. It doesn't take much. In fact, every one of these folks standing up here could just use a helper sometimes just to help the kids go potty, because they've got a group and somebody needs to help get them down the hall and back. And so if you just showed up, I mean, there's not a person in this room that couldn't help with that on a regular basis. So think of them saying, "don't let me down." Give yourselves, because that's what it's all about. In fact, that's the commitment we're talking about today, to God, to the ideal marriage, and to family. How many of your parents say some funny things sometimes when it's time for discipline, or like when you're in trouble, you know? they'll say things like, "now at the table, now shut your mouth and eat your food." Did you ever wonder, how's that supposed to work, right? It's hard to get the corn cobs up the nose, but, you know. Sometimes they'll say just interesting things about discipline. But God disciplines every child of his that he loves. Hebrews 12, "my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline." Do not make light of the Lord's discipline. "And do not lose heart, for when he rebukes you," because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He loves. And parents, we've got to come to grips with being consistent in our discipline. One of the hardest and most challenging aspects of raising kids, being disciplined and being a disciplinarian. How many of you feel like you got that down? A two-year-old? Melissa's got that down. Let's talk a little bit, especially about, maybe I'll give you some images today that you can look at. Jot these down, and if you're a kid, you can actually draw a picture right on that handout that mom and dad have. There's a little spot there for you to draw a picture. Maybe you can draw a picture of the one that kind of represents your mom and dad the most. So the first picture is that of the Washington Monument. You know, it's pretty much a straight up, straight lined thing. And that would be the parent who does the exact same thing at any age, you know? So maybe they've got a 3-year-old and they let him go clear down the block, and they've got an 18-year-old and they won't let him go past the block. You know, that would be the straight up and down, no change. You know, and that's easy to do because then you're real consistent, but it's not real practical. It's really not helping them get independent and not recognizing the needs of the child like the Lord recognizes our needs. The second one, you know what that is, right? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Hey, all you kids, lean a little bit like this just to represent the Leaning Tower. Okay, now lean the other way. Okay. Oh, parents are doing it too. That's okay. Now that would be maybe the parent who starts off really, really well, but somehow gets tired out through it all and kind of leans toward what the kid wants. And I'll be your friend. You know, that would be the kind of discipline that says, "I'm not really doing this for your good. I'm doing whatever's comfortable for me." Maybe that comedian was kind of talking about that a little bit. You know, trying to go with the line of least resistance, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Pisa, yeah. What's the pyramid one? Now, that's kind of strange. What this represents is someone who's really, really strict when the child is young, and by the time they're a teenager, they've given up. Oh, I see some of you can relate to that, huh? And that's tempting, because once they can talk back, you're like, well, then go ahead and run your own life, huh? And yet, Usually that's the most important time to refine, to help, to encourage, and to bless your kids with consistency. I'm looking at some faces of some folks that I know. They've just recently had to put their kids on cell phone restriction. Or one that had to take their kids off Facebook because of what was going on there. And it's like, that's hard, but good. Because they're helping their kids grow up in a way that's going to be helpful to them in the long run. Okay, so kids, I got one more, and this will be your favorite. In fact, this is one that your grandma and grandpa want to give to you today at the end of the service on the way home. Okay? This is the one that your parents want to give you on the way home. But if grandma and grandpa are here, they're gonna help fund it, right? Right, Marietta? Yeah, okay, all right. And this is the ice cream cone. And what is it? It's pretty consistent through childhood. It actually gets a little more wide during the young teen years and then tapers back off to, hopefully, independence. You know, so it's really almost an hourglass kind of, but I like the ice cream cone better, don't you? Now you're all wanting to have an ice cream cone about now, aren't you? Yeah, no, excuse me, John's going to get one. Yeah, yeah. So it's not the Washington Monument. There's no change. It's not the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I'll be your friend. I won't be your disciplinarian. And it's not the one that just says, I'm strict when you're little because it's easy, but I'm giving up. Instead, it's someone who says, I'll be consistent. I'll even increase and decrease as you grow and show your growth, your responsibility in the whole process. So how many of you parents or grandparents, your kids are in that young stage before it kind of overflows? You got Joey and Gab. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you are kind of having to put a few more restrictions on, a few more disciplines that maybe it's not that comfortable? You just as soon give up, but the Lord's calling you to be more disciplinarian. Consistent discipline. How many of you are at that teen year? Hi, Al. How many of you are raising teens? You're raising all of them, aren't you? You got them all the way along, you know? Yeah. Where your kids are really starting to pull on the reins and test a little bit. How many of you got your kids past all that and you've already narrowed down to the, yeah, isn't that good? Okay, get ready. Grandkids are going to come, you know? You'll get to help with them. And you get to coach your kids, whether you did it right or not, you get to coach your kids on how to do that process. Because the Lord loves and the Lord disciplines. Now, that's a forgotten verse for many of us. But that song we sang, I'll follow you. We want the Lord to be our leader. We want the Lord. And so we submit to him and say, whatever you want. Where are you at in the cone with the Lord? Is he bringing just consistent discipline? Is he having to deal with your rebellion? Or are you at a point where you've so surrendered to him, now you're multiplying and letting your life exhibit his strength, his character, and his blessing for others. That's really his overall plan and what he wants to do in our lives. So we've got already unquestionable commitment, and we've got consistent discipline. Now let's shift our thinking to the idea of grace. Chuck? All right. Share with us what God's been up to.
So nice after that song. Oh, God. If you spend any time at all in my class, you'll know that we spend a lot of time talking about prayer. And what is prayer? It's just talking to God. Sometimes those talks are, oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful. And sometimes they're more formal. And sometimes they're just angry. And you're screaming and you're crying and you're, why in the world? So I'm going to take you on a little history lesson. October 6th, 1996 was a Sunday. And that Sunday, I spent a lot of time with Bruce. And he dedicated my one-month-old daughter, Alana, and then baptized me.
Yep.
For the first time. The only time, actually.
The only time.
I never, until the last 17 years, realized just how amazing
God's grace is.
That day was going to be. Friday, like a couple days ago Friday, I got the bestest present I could have ever, ever. And it was a phone call from my daughter's dad. And he says, can you meet me? And I was like, oh, sure. So I meet him. Now, what you guys don't know is that for the past 15 years, my oldest, my baby, has been in my life at all. And so we hang up. He texts me a minute later, and he's like, I have a huge surprise for you. And I text him back driving, don't ever do that.
Don't ever text while you're driving.
Don't text and drive.
Pull over.
I said, there's only one thing you can give me, and I am not holding my breath, because my heart has broken so many times because it was going to happen, and then it didn't. So he texts me back, and he's like, seriously, she's sitting right here. And I was like, so I show up. And I walk in, and he looks up at me. And because he looks up at me, she looks up, and she just, I sat down, and I watched my baby's lips start quivering. And because I haven't been in her life, I wanted to reach out to her so badly just to protect her, and I couldn't. So we talked for a few minutes. You know, he did it in a great job. He brought up school, all the stupid stuff she doesn't want to talk about. And I was able to ask her. I said, Alana, are you mad at me? And she says, no. And I said, don't tell me no, just to tell me no. It's okay. She says, no, I'm really not. I said, okay. I said, I have to tell you something. And Troy politely excused himself. And I started crying, and my baby scooted over, and she hugged him. So that made me cry even more. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell her, I was like, honey, 15 years has gone by. She's now a 17 and a half year old beautiful girl. I said, 15 years has gone by, and I do not want you to think for one second that I have not been in your life because I didn't love you, or because I didn't want you, or because you did anything wrong. I said, you have to understand that I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. I could have trusted God that he was gonna take care of you, and that someday we would come together again. Or not knowing if you even remembered who I was, because I put her in a car when she was 2 years old. I didn't know if you'd remember me. And completely turn your life apart. So I erred on the side of trusting God. And today's here. And after 4 hours of amazingness, ish, I got 8 billion and 12 hugs, 9 million kisses, so many I love yous between the two of us. She calls me mom, yay! And it wasn't a one-time thing. We're starting a new relationship. And awesome. It
Praise
was,
the Lord.
God's so yeah. good.
Yeah, awesome. you talk about grace and how God gives us grace. He gives us good gifts. And even when we don't deserve them, he loves to pour them on us. In fact, the thing I'd like you to think about now is really God's grace and how we need to extend that to each other in our lives. That God wants us to give frequent grace to each other. You know, because we have received God's grace, we want to give his grace to others. We show grace because we've received God's grace. In fact, the more we bask in his grace to us, grace is not getting what you deserve, getting what you don't deserve. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved blessing in our lives. Above and beyond anything we could earn or deserve, he gives us so faithfully. frequent grace. And don't we need big doses of grace in our families, in our lives? Melissa's is maybe an extreme case of that. But when she didn't have bitterness, when her daughter didn't hold it against her, there's a gift of God, a grace of God at work there. And isn't that the kind of grace we all have to propagate and utilize in our lives on a regular basis? That's why we call it amazing grace. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others and faithful stewards. Notice it says of God's grace, his gifts, his love and blessing in your life in its various forms. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I want to make a special note to those of you that raised your hands when I said grandparents. Grandparents have a huge opportunity here to show grace and to allow and to extend grace to our kids, but also to their kids, and to teach them maybe what was hard for us to teach them as they were kids in our households, to teach them that in their lives. Maybe this would be a good place to see that visualized, God's grace at work. Amen. You know, we've been through three of the four. We've talked about unquestionable commitment to each other, consistent discipline, a gift that God gives to us and we give to our kids, we give to each other, and frequent grace, God's grace, extended and amplified through us to our kids. Fourth and final thing is the abundance of love. And actually, it's God's love that is so unconditional love. Unconditional love. It's similar to the unquestionable commitment. They've got to go together, but it's unique. That's what we sang about. Because of your love, I'm forgiven. Because of your love, there's no fear in giving out myself and what you have. Jesus was faced with showing unconditional love to his disciples, to the other people in his life, to the closest friends and family that he had. Chuck, lead us into an example of God's use, of Christ's use of unconditional love through, actually, John chapter 13.
Passover time, and he was with his disciples. It was one of the last times that he was with him, really. And it was just during this time that a lot of things were going on. He was predicting his own death. This was the moment when he knew that Judas was going to betray him. It was already in the heart of Judas to do that. Jesus knew that going into this moment. And yet, Jesus showed one of the greatest acts of selflessness that in that day you could show. That was to wash his disciples' feet. Which means that he was going to have to get down onto the ground and lower himself physically below his disciples and get down to a part of their body that was filthy dirty from walking around the streets of Jerusalem. So it wasn't a fun task. So he says, I'm going to wash your feet. And you know, Peter was a little indignant because he says, "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You're not going to wash my feet. That's embarrassing." But Jesus said, "You know what? If you don't allow me to wash your feet, you really can't have any part of me." So Peter said, "Don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands. Wash all of me. Because I want to be a part of you, Jesus." It was this time that Jesus demonstrated his love for them by doing what he really came to do in this world, and that was not to be served, but to serve. I'm going to ask children to come up here and sit on these seats that we have available. It can be young children, it can be teenagers. Come on, children, come up and sit in these seats. And I'm going to give the parents, the grandparents, or uncles, or whoever is here in your family, the opportunity to come and wash the feet of the children that are sitting here on this stage. As an act of humility and as an act of servanthood, taking on the role of Jesus, would you do that? Come on, parents, grandparents, whoever's in the family. You'll find the water under the seats in a basin and a towel. And what you're going to see before you today is true humility.
Heavenly Father, thank you for children in our midst. Thank you for parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and just love that can be extended. Thank you for the picture of humility. May we always be found in that position of Jesus, serving and serving children. May you use this picture today to just tell kids that we love them, to tell kids that Jesus loves them. Just lift them up, Lord. We ask for your blessing on every family connected with the church here. We ask your blessing on every parent, child, and for the relationship. We ask you to use this, Lord, as a picture for you. Thank you for these kiddos. In Jesus' name, amen.